regime. Saudi Foreign Minister Abdel Al-Jubei took things a step further by saying that Assad will not be ruling Syria in the foreseeable future. Meanwhile, Assad told an AFP news agency that his army is able to retake the whole country, adding that Damascus will continue to fight terrorism amid peace talks. Now to discuss this, I'm joined live on the line by geopolitical analyst and author of the book Welcome to the USSA, Corruption in the Government and Media, Ryan Dawson. Thank you, Ryan, for joining us once again here at Radio Sputnik. Now, are we seeing an intensification of war of words here amid the stalled Syria peace talks, or what are we seeing exactly?
You're seeing a lot of hot air. What you're really seeing. The Secretary of State, John Kerry, seems to be talking out of two sides of his face. It seems to be a ceasefire only among the minor players. Jabhat al-Nusra wasn't at the table. ISIS wasn't at the table. And while Kerry is saying that the Syrian people will be able to decide their next government and leadership, he then turned around and said it won't be Assad and the opposition forces will continue to fight Assad. And then he cited examples of barrel bombs, chemical weapons, and all the propaganda they've been saying for the past 4.5 years.
Yes, Ankara is continuing to shell Kurds in northern Syria. Well, this is the second day in a row now, while the Saudis move their military jets into Turkey, saying that they'll be used against Daesh. Now, if we look at earlier reports, they're suggesting that the Saudis and Turks, well, they may even put boots on the ground in Syria. I mean, how realistic does this sound to you at the moment?
It's really escalating. The U.S. has basically just drawn a red line so they can say, they can blame it on someone else when things don't work. They can say, well, you didn't stop bombing the opposition forces. That's basically all they wanted. Because Kerry admitted that they will continue to fight ISIS or Daesh, and they will continue to fight al-Nusra, and they're also going to have the opposition forces fighting Assad. So exactly who is going to cease fire? No one, really. As you said, the Turks were killing Kurds today and yesterday. That's continuing, and they're talking about boots on the ground, which is just more escalation. One thing they did talk about, though, was humanitarian aid to the areas hardest hit. They mentioned Madaya, what Kerry said directly. However, and I went over this in a story with Marwan Sisili, according to the residents of Madaya themselves, the last aid that went to the city ended up in the hands of these moderate rebels, the moderate terrorists, who moderately cut people's heads off and moderately starve people and shoot kids. And they were selling it at exuberant prices to the population. And so if they're really going to send aid, they can't just drop it from the air. They have to do a better job of making sure it reaches the people who really need it. However, over the past few years, every time the U.S. has sent aid, humanitarian aid, or so-called non-lethal aid, which they gave to the FSA, they sent the FSA scores of Toyota Hilux trucks. And this is exactly what ISIS is driving around in. By the hundreds, they have these Toyota trucks, which they've mounted machine guns on and are using to kill and fight the Syrian people. And so a lot of this aid is just a facade. They're not really going to moderate rebels. They're going to the terrorist groups. It's just like Iran-Contra. Publicly, the U.S. is against aiding the terrorists, and privately, they've been doing it the whole time with their Turkish and Saudi partners.
And it's interesting to point out that everything's happening amid advances of the Syrian army, and some experts are saying that, well, this might indicate that Ankara and Riyadh, well, they aren't really happy about the latest gains of Damascus.
Exactly, and that happened before in the very beginning of the conflict. Every time the Syrian army had significant gains, then they wanted peace, they wanted a ceasefire. But it was only temporary so they could regroup and come back and attack again. That's what happened in the past. And so there's no reason to abide by anything in this meeting. It was just a lot of talk about nothing. They're going to continue the major fighting. And it was funny to me that Secretary of State John Kerry was saying specifically that these talks had nothing to do with the gains that have been made by Iran, Russia, and Syria. And yet, that's obviously what brought these talks about. That's obviously why they're trying to negotiate, and they're trying to get the Russian air campaign specifically to stop. And they are claiming they're bombing civilians and moderate rebels. However, no evidence for that has been provided. And when the U.S. tried to provide evidence of its own air campaign, they used footage of Russian air campaigns.
And let's look at the Saudi foreign minister, Al-Jaber. I mean, he's warned that if the Syrian political process, well, if it fails, Assad will have to be removed by force, he said. I mean, how likely is it that both Riyadh is actually, I mean, they're striving for such a scenario? Is that possible they could do that?
I think what he's really doing is saber-rattling for his Wahhabi Salafi Sunni fanatics to get behind his position for his own political needs. I don't think even the Americans want Assad to go. The goal is to break Syria, and prolonging the conflict has been the point the entire time. And nobody, not even the Americans, not even the Israelis, really want to see Assad go and someone from ISIS having a Saudi Arabia 2.0 in Syria. That would be a disaster for everyone. Now, they want to try to prolong the conflict as long as possible, and they're not able to do that right now because the air campaign and the Syrian forces, along with Hezbollah, are having a lot of success. They've basically regained the territory around Aleppo, which is very important. It's near the Turkish border where they're cutting off the illegal black market oil trade, which ISIS has been sending to the Turks. And so now they want to negotiate, but they really have no leverage in this matter.
Let's turn now to the Russian Foreign Minister, Sergei Lavrov, who is more or less always bang on with what he says. And he's saying that he reckons that there's a 49% chance that a ceasefire in Syria will be successfully taking place within 1 week. Now, do you think he's being over-realistic here? Do you think he's being too optimistic? What is your view?
I think he's being too optimistic. There will be a ceasefire in the sense that perhaps they will postpone their bombing campaign, but with the Turks already killing Kurds today and yesterday, it's clear they've already decided to ignore this. This news has been out for a while, or anticipation of it, and Turkey has stepped up the violence, not decreased the violence. And of course, ISIS wasn't even in Munich, so they're not going to stop fighting. Therefore, Assad's forces cannot stop fighting. Who exactly is going to have a ceasefire? The foreign powers can stop their air campaigns. That's really about it, because everybody of any significance on the ground is going to keep fighting, because as long as ISIS is there, everyone has to continue.
And let's look at the Munich conference that has brought so many people together. How important is such a conference for breakthroughs at this stage?
It is important at least to try, it's important to attempt, and I do hope that one good thing that came out of these talks, if they are very sincere about the humanitarian aid, and this is not a cover just to get more arms to rebels, people are starving in certain parts of Syria, and I would really like to see a joint effort by all sides to at least get that kind of humanitarian, sincere humanitarian aid to civilians who need it. And that does seem like that this could happen.
And finally, before I let you go, how soon do you think we might see some of the refugees returning to certain parts of Syria?
Well, that depends on a lot of things, but it's best if the government forces continue to get ground. That's when you're going to see more refugees come back to Syria. As long as these moderate rebels, if you want to call them that, the terrorists al-Nusra and Afal al-Sham and ISIS, if they continue to gain ground, you're going to see more refugees fleeing. Of course, you could also see more Kurds fleeing if Turkey continues its campaign. So I would like to be optimistic and say that more will be returning to Syria, but that's not going to happen until the government of Syria, along with their partners with Hezbollah and the Russian air campaign and the Iranians, if they continue to take territory and can keep ISIS at bay, then it will be safe for people to return. And you have neutral states like Japan giving aid and money for reconstruction. So it's the people sitting on the sideline who need to get more involved.
On that note, thanks for joining us here at Radio Sputnik, geopolitical analyst and author of the book Welcome to the USSA, Corruption in the Government and Media, Ryan Dawson. Stay tuned to Radio Sputnik.